with that, let's get on to today's interview. Again, we have Andrea Nagel. And Andrea, your official title is Director of Storytelling and Partnerships at the Better Together Animal Alliance. So what does a Director of Storytelling do?
Yeah, I love my title. It is so much fun to introduce myself to other people in the community and professionals throughout the area. What I do is primarily communications and marketing. All of the storytelling that you see online, on our website, in the newspaper. But also I do this aspect of partnerships with our community businesses and people who are wanting to get involved in our development. So that's a fun component as well. I've gotten to know a lot of great people through that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and because the animal shelter does partner with a ton of people in town.
We do.
And people and other groups, yeah.
We do, and we're always looking for new ways to collaborate and foster community and get these animals out and about around town and their faces seen. Mm-hmm. So it's a really fun aspect to my work.
Mm-hmm. One of the things that brought the animal shelter, we like to get Mandy or somebody from the animal shelter in, just talk every so often. It's been about 6 months, I think, since Mandy was in. Mandy's the executive director. But one of the things that brought the animal shelter to mind was the Canine Keg Pull this year, which is, you mentioned partnering with other people and organizations in town. Were you there for that?
I was out of town this year. I missed it, okay. But it sounded like it was a blast.
It was a total blast. It was raining the whole time. but that did not deter any of the canine athletes or their human partners from running down the course, pulling kegs. And it's a great thing if people have not seen it. The big dogs pull full-size kegs, mm-hmm. but the little dogs pull progressively smaller ones, and like a chihuahua will pull a beer can.
I saw some photos from this year, and there was a little dachshund, a little wiener dog pulling a can, and it just kills me every time. I love it.
And it's funny, the big dogs carrying that, pulling that heavy thing, they're like all charged up and ready to go. The little dogs are like, what am I supposed to do? Pull this can somewhere?
Yeah.
it's a crack. I mean, that raises money for the animal shelter, right?
It does. Yeah. We raised about $1,200 this year, which is wonderful. And we get to partner with Ike Arts and a couple other local businesses. I believe Easy Dog's a sponsor. My apologies to anybody who I may have forgotten, but it's a really great collaborative effort. And it's so much fun.
It's so much fun. Even if you don't have a dog, obviously, it's fun just to go see the dogs running down the course. And some of them are like totally mystified, and some of them are totally dialed in. And this year, Eichhardt's had to, we had all that rainy, warm weather. Eichhardt's had to truck the snow in that's held on Cedar Street. And of course, like the next day, it started to snow.
Yeah, we kind of just missed the weather mark this year.
Yeah, well, hopefully next February we'll have snow. It's a great event for people to go to. So, Andrea, how did you wind up at the animal shelter?
So I have been working in the realm of community nonprofit communications for, 12 years now, 13 years now. And after the pandemic, I was just feeling really burnt out in my old job. And my husband was feeling similarly, and we were just looking for a change. We're from Coeur d'Alene, and I connected with Mandy, our executive director, as you mentioned, online, and we just really hit it off. And I was really impressed with her vision and the company's growth and how they have situated ourselves in the animal welfare industry. We're really leaders and setting new standards for animal welfare. And I was very impressed with that. I really wanted to get involved, and it worked out great. I've loved being there. I've been there for about 3 years now.
Mm-hmm. Well, so tell us a bit, how would you describe the Better Together Animal Alliance if you're in the elevator with somebody and you had to give the elevator speech?
Yeah, I always like to say that Better Together Animal Alliance is less of an animal shelter and more of a social services organization. We're really focused on trying to keep animals out of shelters, and we have a lot of community-based programs to help do that. one of my favorite things that we do is we have a pet food bank. So anybody can come in, no questions asked, grab a bag of dry cat food or dog kibble. We often will have, you know, cans and treats and stuff like that. And they can just come in, grab it when they need it. And often down the road, they'll come back in with a few bags of food that they'll donate back. And it's really, really great.
They pay it forward themselves.
They do. Yeah.
Do you know how any measure how many people use that service?
I was actually going to see if you could guess how many pounds of food we gave away last year.
Oh, boy. How many, in the whole year?
Yes, all of 2023.
Okay, so, I mean, I'm familiar with like the 20 to 30 pound bag that you pick up for my dog. And so if there were, I don't know, somebody came in to get one of those every, I'm doing the math here, somebody came in to get one of those, say, every three times a week, that would be 60 pounds a week times 52 weeks would be like 3,000 pounds.
We gave away over 95,000 pounds of pet food last year to community members. It's a very widely used service, especially right now when we, you know, a lot of people are facing economic challenges due to housing, increased costs, and, you know, we're not immune to that either. But that's one of my favorite services that we do. We also have temporary boarding for free for people who need to seek out inpatient health care. That started out as a partnership with Bonner General Health. And then also for domestic abuse situations and people who are struggling with housing, it's really difficult to find pet-friendly, affordable housing in our area right now. So that's a service that we like to provide. And we also, you know, of course, do low-cost spay and neuters and all kinds of things to help support people. We also have a helpline, so people can call us at any time and with their pet issue, and we'll help them figure it out.
What kind of calls do you field there?
Mostly medical in nature. Maybe people who have taken their pet into their veterinarian and the service that they needed was just too much that, you know, they can't afford it. Or perhaps it's a housing thing. We've paid people's deposits for an apartment, a pet deposit, so that they can afford to keep their pet. And then things like that, mostly. We also will help with some behavioral stuff, but we don't currently have like an in-house trainer. But we do have resources that we can connect people with. We partnered with a national organization that kind of focuses on cats and cat behavior. And so when people call and they're like, my cat is spraying my furniture and I can't get them to stop, we can connect them with this resource and they can get it figured out.
Does any of that kind of sink into you via osmosis as to somebody might ask you a question about animal behavior?
I try to absorb as much as I can.
Okay, I got one for you.
Oh boy.
A dog I know and love, but she's super anxious all the time, and she'll start barking all the time. She'll get really wound up. And then she'll be just totally sweet as well. So is there any kind of particular, I mean, almost to the point you think, well, this dog needs some drugs to mellow out a little bit.
I mean, that's a possibility. You know, anxiety is anxious behavior is hard because it can stem from a lot of different things. So I always recommend, we have some really great trainers in our region. I wish that we had one on our staff, but maybe someday. I would recommend just kind of talking with them, doing a little bit of an assessment, you know, and they can kind of help you suss out the point at which the trigger for the behavior, I guess, is the best way to say it. And then you can go from there. Sometimes it's just like a progression of desensitization to whatever the trigger is, and it's a very gradual approach. Other times they need some medication to help them level out a little bit, but I think that's more rare.
Okay. And so how many dogs do you have in the dogs and cats, I should say, do you have in the shelter now?
So we've been averaging around 50 animals in our care. So I mentioned earlier that we like to try and not bring in animals to the shelter as much as we can and keep them home with their families. But sheltering is still a major part of our business and what we do. And so we have, I believe, 38-ish dogs right now and about 10 cats. And many of our dogs that we've had right now have been with us for a really long time. So that's kind of a trend that we've been seeing. It's been a lot harder to find homes for these larger dogs, especially if they have any sort of special need, or, you know, maybe they can't go to a home with another pet and they need to be a solo pet. But a lot of them, while they might have a little quirk like that, they're really, really great animals still. I was talking to you before we got started about a dog called Kalani, and she's been with us since last May. She's been with us for almost a year now, but everybody who cares for her really loves her. They said that she's fun and smart and playful, but she just would be best as an only pet. So it just takes time to find homes for some of these dogs.
As an only pet, because she doesn't get along well with other animals.
Right, right. But beyond that, she's just so sweet and so smart. Every time I bump into her in the hallway, she's all wiggles and just wants to love on you. So.
Yeah, and it looks like you have a lot of different breeds. Kalani is kind of a mixed breed.
Yeah, yep.
I'm looking at online right now at some pictures.
One of my current favorites is Wally. He's a very large tricolor dog, and he's just the goofiest thing. He has some issues with his, I'm not sure if it's his back hips or his back legs, but he has this really interesting walk because of it, and he's just like all legs, and he's so funny.
And I see one here named Turtle, which is another mixed breed, kind of a brindle color, I guess. But do you guys name the dogs, or do they come to you when the owners have to relinquish them for one reason or another, probably with a name already?
A little bit of both, yeah. If an animal comes to us and it's an owner surrender, we will retain the name. So that it's easier for them. But animals that come in as strays, we have to rename. Our intake staff get real creative.
Yeah.
Especially come kitten season.
Yeah. I mean, Turtle is not a typical name for a dog. I imagine that a lot of people relinquish their dogs pretty reluctantly. And that happens for a variety of reasons. They're moving, their personal situation changes. What are some of the reasons that people do have to bring a dog in?
Yeah, well, it is, we always try to approach this as this could be the hardest day of this person's life. You know, nobody wants to get rid of a beloved pet. So we always try to come at it from that perspective and try to support them where we can. But it's for a variety of reasons. A lot of times it's housing. I mentioned earlier, it's really hard to find affordable pet-friendly housing. So I would say a good percentage of pet surrenders that we're seeing right now are due to housing issues. Also life changes, people moving, getting divorced. Sometimes we'll have people bring in a pet that was their parents and they say, my mom died and this is her cat and I can't keep it. So they surrender it to us and we find it a new home. We always, in those situations, will try to encourage people to use our home-to-home program.
That was the next question I was going to ask about. Because I know about home-to-home, but tell us what that program is.
Home-to-home was founded by BTAA, and it's actually an international program now. So we have partners that are using it in Canada and I believe in Mexico. So it's an online platform where people can rehome or find fosters for their pets without ever having to go through a shelter. So that pet gets to go from couch to couch and not have to go through that stressful situation, because while shelters provide the best care they possibly can, it is a stressful area. You know, it smells weird. There's lots of noises. Their schedule gets completely broken up. They're, you know, in a kennel a decent part of the day. So this allows people to bypass that and just, you know, find the next best loving home for their pet instead of having to relinquish them to a shelter.
Much better for the pet.
And so much better.
For the owners, too, because they can kind of assess the folks that are going to adopt their animal.
Yeah, yeah. My husband and I actually used the program a year ago. We had adopted a little mini Aussie from my work, and it just wasn't a good fit. We had her for about 8 or 9 months, and we did a lot of one-on-one training, and our lifestyle was just too stressful for her. It just was never going to work. So it ended up being more of a long-term fostering situation, mm-hmm. and we made her a profile on Home to Home. It's like a little dating profile, we found somebody who is just in love with her, and she is living her very best life now. She's learning how to do search and rescue, and she has a lot of structure, and it's been really, really good. So I always encourage people to go that route before relinquishing mm-hmm. to a shelter. It gave us a lot of peace of mind because we were able to choose where she got to go. Mm-hmm. So,
and you mentioned that Home to Home is national, international even mm-hmm. now. That's amazing that it's grown that way. But there's a local component for each of these shelters that get on board with it, right?
Correct. Yeah. So there's two ways that people can kind of go about listing pets on Home to Home. One is with their local shelter. So shelters can list pets on Home to Home. They are our partners. They help us advertise, you know, pets that need to be rehomed in their communities. However, we have opened it up, and so anybody can just go on and create a pet profile, and then they can choose to associate it with a local shelter, but they don't have to. And the same goes for fostering. We have a fostering component on there now, and it was something that was created originally for disaster relief. We were asked to assist with a hurricane like a year ago, I think. And so we created this or expanded our fostering component of the website so that people could list their pets during an emergency situation. So up here would probably be more like a fire if you had to evacuate. And Home to Home is open to all animals. You know, if you have horses that you need to relocate because a fire is coming your way, you could list them on there and find a temporary foster until you're able to go back home.
Mm. Or iguana.
Yeah. Snakes, hamsters, you name it.
Do you know how many shelters are involved now?
You know, I forget the stat for how many shelters are involved. However, I do know that we assisted over 78,000 animals across the country last year, and about 510 were local. Mm. So
how does something like this funded?
Largely through donations. Home to Home is kind of a separate entity. There is a little bit of a fee exchanged there, but our work at BTA is primarily funded through our thrift store, which is about a third of our operating budget. We recently expanded the thrift store, so that's been a big bonus for us, a big help, and it's very exciting. And then we also just purchased a box truck so we can start doing pickup and delivery for folks who maybe need to get rid of larger furniture and don't have a truck or something like that, or if they're cleaning out an entire estate. That'll be a service that we'll be able to provide soon through that. But a large portion of our funding comes through donors and through the community. We rely very heavily on the generosity of our community. And I think most of our local nonprofits operate that way. You know, we're providing a great deal of service for very little exchange. You know, our adoption fees are as low as we can possibly make them. We offer low cost services through our medical suite. And, you know, we're all about creating access. So funding for that, you know, we don't quite break even there. So, we definitely rely on the generosity of the community.
So tell me a little bit more about this expansion at the thrift store.
Yeah, it's really, really exciting. We opened third quarter last year. We opened late 2023.
A big additional, 3,000 square feet?
3,000 square feet of retail space kind of off the back. And it's been great. We're able to accept gently used furniture now, which is something that we haven't been able to do in the past. It has allowed us to just kind of reorganize and streamline our products. It's been really, really nice. And our customers seem to really love it.
So you're now taking bigger furniture?
There's a bigger furniture available. We are, yes.
Yeah. Okay, so it's a good place if somebody's looking for a piece of furniture to go. Yeah.
Absolutely. That's something that we're really focusing on right now is kind of bringing in those really nice, gently used pieces. So if someone's looking for a new couch or a coffee table or a dining table, you know, we've got you.
So I know that all thrift stores kind of struggle with this. People bring in stuff that's really, it's kind of junk now.
It's true.
Yeah, so I imagine that you get a good share of that and you have folks that have to sort through to decide whether or not something is really resellable.
We do. Yeah. We have an entire building dedicated to sorting through items and a staff dedicated, staff and volunteers dedicated to it. And I don't know exactly what that process looks like, but I do know that we recycle whenever we can. We really try to minimize waste. And but yeah, you know, it happens.
Yeah. And so folks should be cognizant of that if they're making a donation there. Use your own judgment. This is something that somebody else would actually want.
Yeah, yeah. Our thrift store manager always likes to say, look at the item. Would you rebuy that in the condition that it's in now? And if the answer is no, you probably shouldn't bring it in.
Yeah. And save you guys the trouble to dispose of it in some other way. There's many things to talk about, but I want to make sure that we hit things that you want to talk about as well. So any other topics here that are on your list?
Yeah, I really just want to talk a little bit about some of the trends that we're seeing. I mentioned earlier that we are seeing an increase of length of stay of larger dogs. Our length of stay for dogs used to be between 5 and 7 days. You know, they were in, they received their wellness exam and their vaccinations and all of that, and we would turn them over and they would get adopted pretty quickly. Our average length of stay right now is over 25 days, which is pretty substantial. You know, you have a dog sitting in a kennel for a month. And you know, they're not in there all day. They get to go on walks every day and go out and play in the yards, but, you know, their primary little area is their kennel. And so we are really encouraging people, if you are considering expanding your family and bringing home, a pet, to please check the shelters first, mm-hmm. because this isn't just a trend that we're seeing. This is a nationwide thing, and it's for a number of reasons.
I imagine the pandemic had a big effect on, actually, it seemed like during the pandemic, animal population in the shelters went down.
Yeah, I wasn't working at PTA then, but all of my coworkers have said that there was a point during the pandemic where there were only 2 dogs in the shelter, and that's pretty amazing. I would love to see us get back to that.
Yeah.
But
and I mean, just conjecture, but you would think people were staying home, they had the ability maybe to have and interact with pets.
Yeah,
that period of time.
Absolutely.
Then they got back to work and, you know, our busy work lives, and it's not always in the animal's best interest to leave them maybe locked in a house all day. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah. We've seen some people bringing pets in that, you know, were COVID dogs or COVID cats, but largely we've seen economic impact. So somebody who might have to choose between paying their utilities and feeding their dog, or maybe their cat has a medical condition that requires ongoing medication that they can't afford, or they can't find, you know, again, pet friendly housing that's affordable for their family. So those are kind of more of the reasons that we're seeing animals come in and probably stay in too. I think anytime there is a level of economic uncertainty, or anytime people experience any sort of financial trouble, you know, that's not typically a good time to bring home a pet. So we're looking to anybody who has that capability to consider it and or to consider fostering. So at the very least, you know, these animals are getting out of the shelter temporarily until we can find them a home that they can go to.
So how does fostering work? Somebody will say, I can take a dog for 2 weeks, or do you flip that? You have a dog that might be in a case like somebody's their caretaker died, and you're looking for a short-term situation until you might be able to rehome them in a different way. How does fostering work?
So it kind of goes both ways. There are all different levels of fostering that we offer, because we anytime we can get a dog out of the shelter for even a day, you know, it's great for them and their mental and physical well-being. So our kind of shortest term program, we call it Hounds on the Town. And you literally just check out a dog for the day. You can take them for a hike. You can take them out for lunch. You can just take them for a nice walk. And anybody can call or come in and just say, I want to participate in Hounds on the Town, and we'll hook them up and they can be on their way. But then we have, you know, weekend long stays. So if you're hanging out for the weekend, not doing anything, you can give us a call, foster a dog for a long weekend, and, you know, give them a little break from the shelter that way. But then we also have our long-term fostering, and these might be for dogs that need some extra attention or maybe just aren't thriving in the shelter environment. We have some dogs that come in and they think it's great. It's like going to doggy daycare and they love it. Other dogs really, really struggle in the shelter environment. So if we have a dog that maybe has anxiety or maybe is really, we call it barrier reactive, those dogs that kind of go crazy when they're behind a fence but are otherwise pretty fine. So, you know, we'll look at dogs like that and it's like, okay, this isn't the best situation for you. So let's work on getting you out of here for a while.
So if a dog goes into a foster home for a week or two, let's say, how does it end up getting adopted? It's going to have to come back to shelter, really, before people can see it for adoption? Or
Yeah. So what we do is we just ask our fosters if they can be somewhat available. So if somebody calls, because we have all of the animals listed on our website, even the ones that are in foster homes. So if somebody calls us and it's like, I want to meet Buddy.
Because they see him on the website.
Because they see him on the website. Mm-hmm. But Buddy's in a foster home. We'll call the foster and say, hey, at what point this week could you bring Buddy in so that he can do a meet and greet with this family? And so we'll facilitate it that way. And so Buddy will come in. He'll get to meet the people, maybe meet the people's other dog if they have another dog. And we'll go from there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm just looking right now at the website and you can meet Mojo, for instance. So you have a little profile of each animal on there with a picture so people can see it. So I imagine you have people that want specific breeds of dogs.
Yes, yeah. Sometimes we'll have people contact us and ask for specific breeds. We don't breed label because we really want to highlight the dog's personality and needs. So, you know, we've really found that. And throughout the industry, we found that dogs' personalities and traits are less breed specific and more about their personalities and life experiences. And so we really try to focus on that. Now, sometimes we get dogs in and it's very obvious what breed or breed mix they might be. But anytime you get a mix in, you might think you know what it is. And we will sometimes do little contests on our Facebook page of we'll do a DNA test on a mixed breed and it might be like, oh yeah, that's part Black Lab, 100%. And then we'll post it and it'll be like Chihuahua, German Shepherd, Pitbull, you know, and it's like, oh,
wolf.
Yeah.
So they're all wolves, actually.
They're all wolves. So you really don't know what it is. And so it's best when you're looking for a dog, to look for personality traits and a dog that'll fit in with a lifestyle and less so what the breed is.
Yeah, actually, now that you mention it, I'm looking through the profiles and every one of them says mixed breed. Because you're not labeling them by breed. Yeah, I had not realized that previously. how about spay and neuter for pets? That's part of a function that you help provide, right?
Yes. Yeah, we do. So every pet that comes through the shelter that we adopt out gets vaccinated, microchipped, and spayed or neutered. But we also offer low cost spay and neuter services to the community, as well as vaccines, microchips. We frequently will do a free vaccine and microchip clinics throughout the community. And we'll go down to Post Falls to our partner shelter and about once a year and do a big clinic down there. And then we were doing through a very generous grant that we received the last few years, One Health Clinics, in which we were able to partner with local healthcare organizations as well as the food bank and do services. We're servicing both ends of the leash, the people and the pets. And so we would have our pet food bank there set up, and then we would offer microchip services and vaccine services as well as the people services too.
Mm-hmm. And can folks find out more about these programs on the website?
Yes. Yeah. We have an events page on our website where we list happenings, goings on, community events that we'll be at. We don't currently have an events coordinator, so it's a little slow right now, but we are doing free microchip clinics every Friday afternoon at our animal care center. So you don't need to make an appointment or anything. You just show up. I believe it's between 12 and 2 on Fridays, and you can bring your dog in, make sure it's leashed, or your cat in, make sure it's in a little carrier, and we'll be able to get you microchipped.
And that's... website is bettertogetheranimalalliance.org, all spelled out. So you mentioned something that your partner in Post Falls, is that an official thing, or you just, is that a term just like your partners with all animal shelters?
It's quasi-official. Like, I don't know if that there's any paperwork involved, but we support them in several ways. The Post Falls shelter is just a small municipal, and I believe that they only bring in dogs. I think it's just for strays. And so we help support them, and we will go down, like I said, once a year and do a clinic with them, and we'll bring down our pet food bank, do wellness exams and microchips and vaccines. And I think we had 250 people come through last year. So it's a big one.
It's interesting because Post Falls is actually a larger metro area than we are.
It is. Yeah. But so Companions Animal Center in Hayden, I believe that they're still in Hayden. You know, they service Kootenai County, but we also service Kootenai County. And so they are the main intake area, you know, for them. But we provide services down there as well. And I don't believe that they have a contract with the city of Post Falls for stray intake. I'm not positive about that, but I believe that's why the small Post Falls shelter exists. So because they are so little, we provide assistance there. And that's kind of our role in Kootenai County right now. But I know we're looking to expand services down there.
Interesting. Sandpoint is...
We're taking over,
We're
man.
Taking over. Well, the home-to-home program alone, I mean, that's, as you mentioned, so it's international now.
And it is.
That is grown out of an idea that Mandy had, I know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was...
it was 6 or 8 years ago.
That was Mandy's baby, and it's growing like crazy.
Mm-hmm. If you're just tuning in, this is the morning show on 88.5 KRFY, and today we're talking with Andrea Nagel. She is the Director of Storytelling and Partnerships for the Better Together Animal Alliance. Andrea, so one thing, there are still some shelters that practice euthanasia, but our shelter is a no-kill shelter, is that right?
Yeah, and a no-kill shelter is defined by not euthanizing for space. So I think it's important to know that, you know, if there is an animal who is very ill, or if it might be a threat to the community and deemed unsafe, you know, those euthanasias still do happen, and we do. It's extremely humane, and it's always very hard on our staff, and they care deeply for these pets, so the decision is never made lightly. But yes, we actually just received an award from Best Friends Animal Society for our commitment to being a no-kill shelter. And they award organizations with a 90% no-kill rate, I believe. And we were at like a 95 or a 98% no-kill rate. Mm-hmm. So it's something that we're very proud of and committed to.
I guess the question would be, what do you know what percentage of animal shelters around the country are trying to do a no-kill policy?
I don't know. I believe most. I think there are very few shelters that are still considered, kill facilities. I don't really like using that term. It sounds terrible. But most organizations now are working toward not having to euthanize for space. Mm-hmm. And it's hard because of some of these trends, like I said, that we've been seeing with animals staying in shelters longer. And, a lot of places are running out of space. So
simply not enough room. So they have to turn people away when they show up with an animal that needs to go in the shelter.
There's been a couple times in the past year that we've had to have a waiting list for people who need to surrender a pet. Mm.
And what about the role that animal control officers play? We kind of have that in Sandpoint, I think. There's some officers that kind of double as animal control. Is that right?
Yeah. I'm not sure exactly how it's set up on the municipal side.
There's not an official dog catcher. So you can't run for the office of dog catcher in Sandpoint.
Not that I'm aware of. Sandpoint actually might, but I'm not positive about that. But we do have contracts with the city of Sandpoint, the city of Ponderay, and then Bonner County. So we are the intake facility, but we are not a municipal shelter. So like Scraps in Spokane, they are actually like a county entity. Mm-hmm. And so we're not that.
You're not a government entity.
We're not. Yeah. We're a private organization. Mm-hmm. Then we have contracts with the cities and the county for intake. And so we do take in, our area's stray pets. But we are not animal control. We don't police animals. So we just take them in when they need a place.
Mm-hmm. And do you get many of those?
We do, yes. I wish that I had the numbers with me because it's kind of staggering how many stray animals that we get in. But we do, yeah, it's very common. I think we have a little indoor-outdoor bay area where law enforcement or animal control will kennel dogs.
If it's after hours.
If it's after hours or something. And almost every morning when I show up to work, there's at least one dog out there. Boy. So,
and a lot of those are probably dogs that people just have gone missing on by their owners. And they like, have you seen my dog?
Yes, exactly.
When they call up. Yeah.
Yeah. So we always scan pets for microchips, like the minute they come in. Mm. That's one of the first things that we do so that we can reconnect them with their owners. So we always highly recommend microchipping your pet because it's the fastest way to get them home. But beyond that, we post them on our website. So you are looking at all of the pets that are available. You'll see many of them are listed as strays. Mm-hmm. And so that means that they've come to us and they're currently on their stray hold, which is 5 days. So during those 5 days, we obviously don't adopt them out. We don't provide beyond a wellness exam to make sure that they're okay. Mm-hmm. We don't provide medical services until they become ours after those 5 days. And then we do a more thorough exam. We, microchip them, vaccinate them, spay, neuter them, and then they become available to adopt.
Mm-hmm. Well, Andrea Nagel, Director of Storytelling with the Better Together Animal Alliance. What else do you want to cover? We got a few minutes left.
Yeah, I really just want to encourage people to support our local nonprofits. We work really, really hard, and we fill a lot of gaps in our community. I was at a conference last year, from the Idaho Nonprofit Center, and the CEO was giving kind of a welcome speech, and he said something that really resonated with me. He said that Idaho runs on nonprofits, and it is so true. It is so true. So whether it's an organization like BTAA that's providing low-cost services to pets or keeping pets and their families together, or if it's an organization that's working on protecting our lakes and rivers or providing wellness services for people, find your cause, find your passion, and support it. Support the work that's being done, because we really can't do it without you guys. You asked earlier about Ladybug, the dog that came to us last week.
Yeah, and that's because you had sent an email around to your mailing list about this dog, Ladybug, that needed some special help.
Yeah, so Ladybug came to us. She was very injured. She actually ended up having a bullet wound and a broken leg, and we had to amputate her front leg. And she was in pretty rough shape. And so we needed some support for her. So we put out a call and we raised over $7,000 to help with her medical expenses and rehabilitation, which is so great. But what was really cool about it was that most of the donations, we got over 100 separate donations for her. And the vast majority of them were in like the $25 range to $50 range. So it doesn't have to be a lot to make a really big difference. Mm-hmm. And, you know, my development director, Paige, was saying, you know, most of our monthly donors are $20 a month, $5 a month, $15 a month. And just knowing that we have that consistent stream of income to rely on is huge. Mm-hmm. It's huge. So it doesn't have to be a lot, but it really goes a long way and makes a difference in our ability to meet the needs of our community. Mm-hmm. For sure.
Yeah. Any single individual doesn't have to, you know, endure financial duress or break the bank to contribute to these different organizations and causes in town. Even a small contribution from a lot of people can really add up.
Yes, absolutely. It's the numbers make a difference.
Yeah. Okay. Well, Andrea, anything else before we transition out of this conversation?
I don't think so. Thank you so much for having me. And for anybody who wants to learn a little bit more about what we do or how to get involved, if you want to volunteer, come walk a dog or read a book to a cat, visit us at bettertogetheranimalalliance.com or stop by our care center in Ponderay. We're always happy to give tours or provide more information. We love when the community gets involved with our work.
And you mentioned one thing I wanted to come back to because I hadn't heard it before, and that's Hounds on the Town.
Hounds on the Town.
So if you're going for a hike or a walk, which a lot of people around here do, swing by the shelter and pick up a canine buddy to go with you. They would love it. You would probably have a lot of fun with that too.
It's super fun. It's great for the dogs. So great for the dogs. We have a dog right now. His name is Pretzel, and he has been like a community favorite for Hounds on the Town. That dog has gone on so many hikes and does such a great job. So Hounds on the Town, it's so good for everybody, and it gets some exposure for some of these dogs because they wear a little Adopt Me vest, and it's really a good time.
Mm-hmm. Well, Andrea, again, thanks for coming in, and we like to swing around every so often and hear about what's going on at the shelter. So we're going to get you or Mandy or other shelter folks back in here to talk again. And anytime you have something going on that you want to let people know about, remember us, because we're always looking for people to talk to about things going on in town.
Thank you. I appreciate it. And it was really fun to be here.